Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We are here, New Year's Day episode, special episode for you. In honor of the people power, we are here, special New Year's Day episode of Pancakes and Power Slam. It's going to be a relatively short episode today, so you can enjoy your holiday. However, we do want to provide a week talk of wrestling, as we do every week. This week, there's a bunch of news, but we're not going to go over this week's news. This week, like I said, is going to be a bit abbreviated today. But we will go over some Raw and SmackDown, ROH and Impact Wrestling, of course, and we will have a flavor of the week. 347-884-8452 is the number to call. And, of course, the chat room will be open for your pleasure. Stump the host is today, so feel free to give me some trivia questions of your liking. So let's get started on Raw. First, we get... Miz TV, our special guest is John Cena, interrupted by Team Rhodes Scholars, leads to a tag team match. Cena and Miz defeats Team Rhodes Scholars. Antonio Cesaro, basically Raw was kind of like a mini Night of Champions. Basically every match was for a title. But, of course, it wasn't plugged and promoted as Night of Champions, and the caliber of matches was a lot less. it was a lot less than the Night of Champions. But I will say that the concept of the concept of the Raw was pretty cool for the final Raw of 2012. If that's a yearly thing, I wouldn't be too opposed to it, just because I think that it is important to just kind of have some things that just kind of revives or kind of refreshes some things as far as the show is concerned, as far as Raw is concerned. We saw that with The Shield, and we'll talk about that soon, and our esteemed Raw correspondent Derek's going to talk a little bit about The Shield today. It's his opinions on The Shield and their potential new rivalry. Does he like it? Does he not? Do I like it? Do I not? We will see here in a moment. So Antonio Cesaro picks Sergeant Slaughter to defend his U.S. title against. But before that, the Miz TV segment led to a match between Cena and Miz against Team Rhodes Scholars, and Cena Miz defeats Team Rhodes Scholars. Miz is getting plugged in random tag teams now. It seemed like at first it was him and Alberto Del Rio, and then for some reason it was just a little weird because. It was weird because At first, it was just Alberto Del Rio, and then, however, now it's John Cena, and, you know, he's getting plugged in random spots. I'm not too opposed of it, honestly, as far as where they have him as a babyface. However, I do think that, you know, you want to be wise. You want to make the wisest decisions as far as Miz is concerned right now. I like the fact that he's a babyface. I'm actually a proponent of it. However, I do think that it's important to make sure that this babyface run doesn't get just ridiculously redundant. And as well as just not booking him correctly. I mean, that's the biggest thing going on right now as far as just booking him correctly. So then we have Team Hell No defeating 3MB. They do air guitar after the match. CM Punk, Paul Heyman, Doctor comes out to the ring. Doctor confirms through X-rays on Titantron that Punk is really injured. Says Punk won't be cleared to wrestle next week. Vince interrupts and overrides Doctor's decision. Says if Punk can't wrestle, Heyman will. So it seems like, and I was basically saying beforehand that it seems that they're going to do some different things going on as far as possibly not having Ryback and CM Punk wrestle at all. So we'll see where that happens. So before we get to the next match, we have our esteemed Raw correspondent Derek on the line. What do you have for us this week, sir?
This week, sir, I've got Monday Night Raw. It was a decent Raw. I really want to focus on the Shield. So far, they're probably the most popular thing and interesting thing that there is on Monday Night Raw as far as just a continuous shock value that comes with WWE. And also, as far as Ryback, Sheamus, and Orton, for Ryback, it could totally redeem him from being so far a jobber and being this bigger-than-life character than that Monday Night Raw wants him to be. And Sheamus, this can do nothing but just kind of propel him to the next level. He's already pretty much, you know, proved himself as a solid athlete and a solid star as far as the WWE roster is concerned. So if they have a good run with Shield, and this could really put him in his place as far as a WWE great. And Randy Orton, to me, he's been kind of a stale character the last couple of years. And again, this is something that could really redeem him, put him back to the hype that was behind him when he was with Evolution. So nothing but good can come out of this. So hopefully this will be something that the WWE really, you know, takes care of, puts a good handle on it, and knows how to really push it. Have a good evening, sir.
Thank you so much, Derek. Great job. I think that was well said, actually, especially when it comes to Randy Orton, because basically what he's speaking with and what I spoke about before, this was the match between Sheamus against Dolph Ziggler, and basically Sheamus wins by a DQ because he was attacked by the Shield. Seems like from what we saw on SmackDown, we'll get to there shortly. And by the way, Stump the Host session is today, so feel free to give me any type of random trivia question, and I will see what I can do to answer to the best of my ability. So, but yeah, I mean, Sheamus was talking about the Shield. Basically, it seems that the Shield is the next victim to be with the Shield. It's interesting that I was thinking that it was going to be the Miz based on the Miz being attacked previously, or John Cena still, because John Cena was attacked by the Shield. But I do understand this John Cena and Orton feud going on. I do understand that. So I'm not too opposed to Cena being out of the Shield feud, because seemingly they have something bigger for him. But Sheamus being the next person and the other person in the feud with the Shield, I'm not too opposed to it. I think it's a good way to branch him out of the feud with the Big Show, because that was just getting stale, incredibly stale. They put on some good matches, but at the same time, it was just getting pretty stale. I think it's a good way to hold the three of them over as far as going into WrestleMania. However, it's just I don't know if I agree wholeheartedly with the direction of the Shield. These random attacks, and then just that leading to the match that they had, the TLC match that they had with Ryback and Team Hell No was good. This match will the Shield win? And if they win, would that propel them at all to something else? I don't know. I don't quite know. So we'll see. We'll see what this leads to. And like I said, it's a decent holdover. I'll accept it as a holdover position right now. And then we'll just, we'll take it from there. Who were the Killer Bees? Killer Bees were B. Brian Blair and Jumping Jim Brazil. Jumping Jim Brunzel. Decent team in the WWE. Never achieved the heights of world champions. And I don't even know if they were worthy to be world tag team champions. They weren't. They were okay, popular, but not really popular enough to even be considered world title contender. So next we have a backstage segment with Punk and Heyman and Maddox. Maddox tries to get a job to no avail. Kofi Kingston and Wade Barrett have another backstage segment leading into their match. He wants to defend the title against Mae Young. Young is unable because of attendance. So they forfeit the match, and then Caitlin comes out and attacks Steve on her way, and just, enough with that. Just more diva nonsense between Caitlin and Eve, and just really doesn't mean anything. Big Show defeats Ricardo Rodriguez by DQ. Very, very funny. Seems like they're leading to Alberto Del Rio against the Big Show. I don't know if I'd necessarily agree with that. Just because Del Rio, he's been in the world title picture for far too long. He had all those title matches against Sheamus, throughout 2012, and unsuccessful. I like the fact, Derek and I were talking as far as the show last week. Is Alberto Del Rio going to be a heel? We understood that the show was taped, but he did play the heel role at the Miracle on 34th Street match against John Cena at the Christmas Eve Raw. But it seems like they're going back to him being a face, which I'm not opposed to. And so, based on SmackDown and Raw, it seems like Del Rio and Big Show is going to have a match. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't mind Alberto Del Rio being a world champion as a face. I think it'll be a nice little spin. However, I don't see it happening. And eventually, similar to Sheamus, similar to what he did to Sheamus, I think eventually he's going to be another just victim. He's going to be another person who's fed to this to the champion. It seems like that's going to be his spot, and that's not a good spot. Wade Barrett defeats Kofi Kingston to become new Intercontinental Champ. This feud has been going on for a little while now. I guess the culmination of it would make sense for Barrett to become champion. I don't know. I mean, Kofi Kingston, I mean, they're poor Kofi, really, because they really tried to make him, when Kofi and R2 split up, they, you know, there were some talks about Kofi Kingston having a push, and, you know, once again, you know, he has the, in my opinion, I call it the Shelton Benjamin John Morrison complex, where great talent has enough to be a world champ, but they always reach a glass ceiling, and I just don't understand why. I don't know exactly why they would continue to not have Kofi Kingston as a little bit more than just a mid-carder. And when he won the Intercontinental Championship, I said, okay, well, this isn't really much of a push because he's had the Intercontinental Championship, I believe, three other times. So I believe this is his fourth time as champ, Intercontinental Champion. So there's not really much of a push. And then as far as Ray Bear is concerned, similar to scenario for him, because he had his vignettes that were amazing, and it's really seemed like he was, you know, on deck to become just a shoe-in main eventer. However, you know, having this mid-card feud with Kofi Kingston brought him down a little bit. I mean, no offense to Kofi, I think he should be up in the main event. His promos can be better, but he has all the talent in the world to be a good main eventer. But Baird being Intercontinental Champion, I mean, hopefully this leads to a good feud with somebody. I mean, I wouldn't mind Miz and Wade Barrett as far as another mid-card face. Tyson Kidd possibly. You know, that's probably it. Maybe R-Truth. You know, I wouldn't mind R-Truth being Intercontinental Champ. So we'll see. I just hope that Kofi Kingston finds something. I mean, maybe Kofi Kingston is the dark horse of winning the Royal Rumble. I mean, who knows? It would be very interesting if they choose Kofi to win. I don't see how that would happen, but you know, he may be a dark horse. But we'll see as far as where this is going to go, because I'm really not interested anymore as far as, I mean, this feud and then the direction of both of them, Wade Baird, it really kind of relegates him to a level that I don't believe his ability nor his vignettes before he came back really supported, so to speak. I believe that he should be a little higher. Hunky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine were a team named Rhythm and Blues. They had a number one hit called, I remember the song. I don't remember what the song is called. I do remember the song. I don't remember the title of the song. So, you can, the chat room is, if you can give me that, I think, I know the song, it's called, feel free to give me that if you'd like, but eventually I would think about it, but I don't remember the song title. Honky Love, I think, or something like that, or, yeah, Honka Honka Honky Love, yeah. That was a very horrible song, and to me, it seemed that Greg Valentine was just plugged in a random spot because it really, you know, surrounded the team was just odd, but it seemed like more of the emphasis was on Honky Tonk Man and, of course, Jimmy Hart. Man, it's Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine. So the chat room said it was beautiful. Not really a big fan of the rhythm and blues, but, you know, to each his own in the world of professional wrestling. On to Raw, Ryback gets attacked by the Shield on the ramp. Sheamus and eventually Randy Orton makes a save. Match never started. Like Derek and I were saying, you know, this seems like it's going to lead to the match between the three, the Shield versus Ryback, Randy Orton, and Sheamus at the Royal Rumble. Like I said, it's a holdover. It's a holdover, you know, for at least the three faces, because, you know, and what's interesting about this, actually, is Sheamus, Orton, and Ryback, all three of them should be in the Royal Rumble. So either this is going to be a mini feud leading to the Rumble, and all six of them will be in the Royal Rumble, or this will be at the Royal Rumble. If this is at the Royal Rumble, I think it would be really bad for Ryback, honestly. I think Ryback would probably be the only person that would get the short end of the stick when it comes to this feud. Because Ryback, I believe, should win the Royal Rumble. I'm still banking on that. Ryback should win the Royal Rumble. Anybody else, you know, Orton, he's won it before. Sheamus has won it before. No single person from the Shield is going to win. So the other five are relatively expendable when it comes to this Royal Rumble. So, you know, it will hurt Ryback, though. It will hurt Ryback if he is not in the Royal Rumble. Speaking of people in the Royal Rumble, we got our first inductee, I mean, our first person who will be our first entrant in the Royal Rumble. We don't have Hall of Fame inductees yet. A bunch of people who are believed to be in the Hall of Fame. But as far as Royal Rumble, first entrant, we found out during the AJ and Dolph Ziggler New Year's Eve toast, which was just, I don't know, to me it was enough with the lovey-dovey AJ and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, it's just getting weird, it's getting dumb to me. We get it. I mean, AJ was scorned, basically, and Dolph Ziggler, you know, was the person who was at AJ's side during, I mean, after she was scorned with John Cena. Okay, we get it. But at the same time, for Cena to interrupt, I mean, the showing the pics of the illegitimate children on the Titantron with the various superstars and legends part was pretty funny. But at the same time, like, okay, so if this is not leading anywhere, which essentially is, I don't think it is, unless we'll see a John Cena and Dolph Ziggler World Heavyweight title match at WrestleMania, which would be a bit odd. This isn't going to lead anywhere because Cena announced that he's going to be the first entrant in the Royal Rumble. Okay, so what does that have to do with feuding against Dolph Ziggler? I don't quite understand. He said he will be champ in 2013. Okay, and then human waste falls from ceiling on AJ and Ziggler. It really throws a monkey wrench in the direction of what they could have done with Cena and Ziggler. Like I said before, I believe that Cena and Ziggler should have culminated at TLC, and Ziggler should have cashed it in or attempted to cash it in, make more intrigue. But then we got Big E coming to interrupt Cena, and you know, where exactly does this go? Because the very fact that the Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber, it might be a match between them at the Elimination Chamber between the two. However, I'm not really interested in that either. So, next week have SmackDown. Before that, we have a question. Who came down with the Undertaker at his debut, and that was Brother Love. Brother Love came down with the Undertaker at his debut, which was Survivor Series of 1990. Survivor Series of 1990. It was weird because he actually got disqualified. He got counted out because he was beating up on Dusty Rhodes. So, but we appreciate we appreciate everyone watching the show. Looks like we have some technical difficulties, so we might be able to. Do Raw today, but we'll be back next week. 347-884-8452. Follow Crave Wrestling for the update of the remaining of the show. Unfortunately, there are some technical difficulties with the show today that is resulting into an abbreviation. But we appreciate all of your support, and we hope that you will have a wonderful New Year's Day. Follow me at Crave Wrestling. Thank you so much for all of the support. Apologize for the technical difficulties, but we did have a great Raw recap and Stump the Host. We'll continue to Stump the Host because I want to be asked more questions. So until next week, have a great week of wrestling. Enjoy, and God bless. Goodbye.